pretty thankful for the prayer that was offered up on behalf of each and every one of us. Ask for continuation of your prayers this morning. I want to continue with my thoughts from last Sunday about the faith that the man we come to know as the Apostle Paul in the New Testament had. Last Sunday, we spoke upon a verse that Paul stated at the end of his life, and it ended with, he had kept the faith. And we'll go back to that here in just a minute and kind of take an overview of what we said last Sunday. But faith is something that is very important to each and every one of us. And there are multiple definitions of faith that you might want to understand in your life. Faith is very necessary. I mean, we have faith in God, and that literally means we believe and we have this tremendous confidence in God, someone who we have not seen, we have not touched. We cannot wrap our arms around it, but we believe it. I mean, we trust in the only true and living God. We believe that He is who He is, and there's something inside of us that tells us that what He speaks to us through His Word is going to come to pass. You know, there are those in the world who have no faith, or the faith to believe in God. Therefore, they can't believe in something they have not seen. They can't believe in something that they cannot touch. They cannot grab their arms around. In other words, if it's not a solid object, if it's not something they can visibly see with their eyes or hear in their ears, they don't understand the eye of faith. That's something that is planted in the heart. You know, Paul said in the 12th chapter of Romans that he has given to every man the measure of faith. To every child of God, there's been faith planted in your heart and soul that enables you to believe. Now, that's intrinsic faith, but Romans chapter 10 deals with an outward faith, with a gospel faith, with the faith that we have to go on. You know, faith is something that we need desperately in this life. When we live in a life where things are not going according to the way that we'd like them to go, when the country's maybe not headed in the direction we like, when the church is not headed in the direction we like, our children are not headed in the direction we like, you know, we need to keep our faith. We need to continue to be constant and consistent in our walk in life, and that's not always easy to do. It's not. Troubles come our way, and Paul said, I have fought a good fight. You know, he said it was a fight. He told Timothy in the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. You know, there are fights that are not worth having in this life, as I mentioned last week, and I'll tell you, that's the truth right now. There are political fights going on. There are fights out in the world going on. There are fights at work going on between families and husbands and wives. They're not good fights. They're not accomplishing anything. They're not bringing about righteousness and purity in anyone's life. They're not good fights, but Paul said, I fought a good fight. And the good fight of faith, of continuing to keep Jesus Christ as the focus of your life, it is a good fight, and it's worthy. It's a worthy fight. You know, we're told that he was worthy. He was worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I exist here today because it was God's pleasure to create you. And we ought to understand that he ought to be our pleasure in life. He ought to be our pleasure in life every day. Is he your pleasure? Is he my pleasure? You know, we're told in the 12th chapter of Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, you know, he endured the cross, despised the shame, is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why is he set down? Because of you and I. He finished what it took to give us the eternal security that we're going to live in heaven with him. He finished his course. How would it have been? You know, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. He said, I've finished the course, and I've kept the faith. I closed last Sunday saying, I hope that when you and I pass from this life, that we can say that. When we close our eyes, that we can say, we've kept the faith. I believe that's something that is a tremendous statement when you see a person who has went through the entirety of their life and they have kept the faith. I believe Brother George kept the faith. No, he was a sinner. He didn't do everything right. This is not about doing everything that's right. It's keeping your focus right. It's keeping your focus on Jesus Christ. You know, and we're told in the second verse of chapter 12 of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, The faith that we have begins with Jesus, and it's going to conclude with Jesus. So, you know, it ought to be important to us how we live our life, and we ought to live it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is this faith? You know, you can't see it. You know, we believe in God, but we've not seen him, or at least I haven't. I don't know if you have, but I don't think many of God's children have visibly seen the Lord with their naked eye. You know, there's something in our hearts that tell us that God exists, that he is who he said he is, that Jesus came. Whosoever is born, whoever declares that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That we're told that in 1 John 5:1. Whosoever saith, believeth, that Jesus is the Son of God, is born of God. You can't believe those things if you do not, you're not born of the Spirit of God. That's why you can't go out and talk to someone, and you cannot talk them into believing on the Lord and having them to come into the sanctuary and feel what you might feel in your heart, have the desires you might have in your heart. But you know, sometimes it's not easy to keep the faith, is it? You know, we see all the things going on in our lives, from our families to our children to our workplace, to our friends and to our neighbors. It's hard to continue at times in our life to be faithful unto the cause. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 5, who are kept, let's get verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We're kept by the faith, the power of faith that God planted in us, the strength of God's faith that gives us hope. You know, hope comes from the faith of believing in God. It does. It's one of those consequences of the faith that you have. You have a hope that helps you to continue on in a life that's not always the life that you dreamed of. It doesn't always work out the way that you might have looked at it when you was a young person and looked way out there 20 or 30 or 40 years. You might ought to envisioned or imagined that this or that would happen. It just didn't go in accordance to the way that we thought it would go. But a hope that we have in us helps us to keep going on, even in the midst of things not turning out the way that you and I had hoped they might. Things not coming around together the way they would. Our children not growing up in doing what maybe we wanted them to do, or going in the direction that we wanted them to go. We see these things happening all the time. He goes on and says, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Have you ever been heavy, burdened down with troubles of life? You know, I think we all have, and I think it happens more than one time in our lifetime. There's things that trouble us, and they become a heavy burden in our life. And manifold just literally means various things. It doesn't matter what your trouble is. What matters is what it's doing to you. The burden that you carry might not be a burden that someone else carries, but it's a burden unto you nonetheless, and it's something that's one of the various types of trouble that we encounter in life. He goes on and he says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. Can you imagine that how everybody wants gold in this country? You'd love to have a bunch of gold bricks, and you'd love to have all these in your safe and in your bank, and think that you had all this money, you wouldn't have any problems. But your faith is more precious, and the trying of your faith is more precious than any gold that you would ever accumulate. That's not easy for a human being, someone in a natural sense, to understand, because they see gold as being the most precious metal and the most valuable metal that we have upon the earth. And in that sense, it is. But Peter here says it doesn't compare to the trial of your faith. And sometimes that's not easy to discern either, because sometimes our faith undergoes tremendous trials. We sometimes are corrected by God. You know, there are two storms, as a brethren said in life. I heard him preaching, and he said, God brings the storms of correction into our life and the storms of perfection. And you know, that's true. Sometimes God sends storms into our life that we might see the glory of Almighty God. That's what happened when Lazarus was raised. It wasn't because of someone's sin. He wasn't correcting Lazarus' sisters. He was showing the glory of God and the power he had in the resurrection to raise Lazarus up. So we have these storms, and the trying of our faith, as hard as it is more precious than gold. It says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? The praise, the honor, and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, he had something in view his entire life that was much better than what was happening to him at that very time. We're going to look at some of what happened to Paul. You know, he kept the faith. And I tell you, it would have been very easy for Paul to throw in a towel. Sometimes it's that way for us. We've tried as hard as we can, and things continue to go in the wrong direction in our lives. You know, lots of folks have far more problems than we do. And I'll tell you right now, if you read the story of Paul, in my opinion, at least in my life, I've had nothing to compare with what Paul went through. And yet, he finished his course and he kept the faith. I mean, that's the most important thing, I believe. It goes on here and it says, whom having not seen, Peter said, you have not seen God, yet you love him. Isn't that amazing? That's what faith's all about. You love God, and you have never seen him. You hadn't wrapped your arms around him. And yet there's something that testifies within you, and it is the Spirit of the only true and living God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that tells you that there is a God in heaven who will keep his promises. And one day he will deliver you into what we know to be as paradise, a place where the afflictions of life will not be, the troubles that we encounter will not exist. What a day that'll be when we're with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye, who though now ye see him not, ye believe, yet believing. We believe in something that we haven't seen. We believe in paradise. You know, Paul was taken up to the third heaven, a place called paradise. The only man, he said, he didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. He didn't know where this, it didn't really matter. Where he went was a place called paradise. And he said the words that he said, there was no words that he could utter. They were not lawful. And I think what Paul meant was, in human words that you and I can understand, there are no words to express what he's seen and what he heard in heaven in a place called paradise where the troubles of this life will not exist. That is the hope that comes from the faith that you and I have as we go through life's journey. It's the anchor of our soul, the hope that we have that one day the troubles that exist in our lives will be no more. And that's what keeps us putting one foot in front of the other, does it not? The hope of being in the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, he told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life. You know, that eternal life is Jesus Christ. You know, over in John chapter 6, Jesus began to speak, and they said, this is a hard saying in John chapter 6. Who can hear it? Later on down in that chapter, it said, many of his disciples walked with him no more, and he asked the 12, will you also go away? And Peter, you know, being bold and speaking up as he did many times, he says, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. We're told in John chapter 11. He's the resurrection. He told Timothy to lay up, hold upon eternal life. That means to put Jesus Christ as your focus in life and never let go of that. You see, Paul finished the course because he didn't get off course. You know, when you go out in the ocean and you get on a ship, and I've only been on a few cruise liners, but there's somebody up there in the main cabin up there that is steering that ship and navigating that ship and keeping that ship on course, are they not? You know, the same thing takes place in an airplane. What happens when one gets off course? No telling where it might end up. If you was out in the ocean and you got off course, there's no telling where you might end up. Paul said, I've finished the course. And to finish any course, you have to stay on course. And that's a very important thing. And I think that's what's happened to many of God's children throughout history. They could not finish the course that they had because they got distracted, because they got off course at some juncture in their life. They couldn't stay the course. They couldn't finish it. Therefore, they couldn't keep the faith. Peter said, who having not seen ye love, whom? Though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We rejoice in something that we have not seen, something that we believe with all our heart and soul, and we have joy unspeakable in doing so because we know that the promises of our God will be kept in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You and I today, who have the faith planted in us and really believe, we know that God promised us to live with him in heaven. He promised that. And I think everyone sitting in this congregation believes that one day their eyes will open in the presence of Jesus Christ and the troubles of life and the difficulties we face will be no more. And you know, even if you hadn't had many troubles, if you are blessed to live long enough, it's likely. You know, I thought about Brother Jack Barnes, and I've thought about him many times. He's probably the healthiest man I ever remember, up to 91 years old. But things went south in a hurry. And by the time he went on to be with the Lord, I spent enough time with you to tell you that he was ready to go home and be at the Lord. He had had enough of it. The trials and the tribulations of this life are a burden that are placed upon us, I believe, to prepare us to go and be in the presence of Jesus Christ, where there will be no more sickness, heartache, troubles, afflictions. We'll have no more sleepless nights if we have those. You know, and there are some here in this congregation that have those for various reasons. But that won't exist in heaven anymore. And our faith keeps us marching forward. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. It is a fight. You know, like I said, there's a lot of bad fights that we could fight in life. But the fight of faith and keeping Jesus Christ in focus is a good fight. You know, Paul began, as we begin to study him over in the book of Acts, as Saul of Tarsus. He was a man who was putting Christians in prison, consenting to their death. He had no use for Christianity, as you would. He thought he was doing God's service in doing these things. And then he had his experience of grace on the road to Damascus. Soon after that, he was taken into the city and his sight was restored. He had no sight for 3 days. And Ananias, he was sent to Ananias, his sight was restored. And then the Lord told him, he said, you're a chosen vessel. And he said, I want to show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. You know, and you and I are going to suffer some in life. But I can tell you right now, I don't know anyone personally that has suffered to the extent that the Apostle Paul suffered. Save the Lord Jesus Christ. No man suffered like him. But I tell you, Paul had his problems, and yet he kept the faith. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's just think about what it meant. You know, Paul could have easily thrown in the towel. When you read these things, ask yourself, would I have kept the faith? Would I have finished the course? Or would I have gotten enough of it and couldn't take it any longer? You know, Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ has the words of eternal life. He told us to begin with that in the world that we live, we're going to have our trials and our tribulations. We can count on it. It doesn't make it any easier knowing that it's going to happen when that does actually happen. But we're all going to have them, and they're going to be manifold. I mean, various in degrees. They're going to be various in whatever types they are. We're going to have them. It just happens, and that's just part of life that we can bank on. But he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Jesus said, in me you can have peace. In me you can have joy. I've overcome the world. He goes on here, and he began in verse 24. It says, Paul begins to tell us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the things that come upon him through his life of the ministry. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. He was beaten with 40 stripes 5 times. That'd be about enough to throw in the towel, would it not? You know, here you are following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trying to live in such a way that would honor and glorify his name. The next thing you know, you're taken and you're beaten with a whip. How would that be? You might just sort of say, well, I've had enough, Lord. I don't think I can continue on. I very well might have said that. But Paul said, I have fought a good fight, and it was a fight. The fight is against evil. The fight is against darkness. The fight is against unrighteousness. And sometimes it's hard not to give in to the world or the things that are going on in the world. He said, I have fought a good fight. He goes on and he says, thrice I was beaten with rods. You know, here 5 times he got beat with a whip and 3 times he got beat with rods. That'd be pretty difficult, would it not? Once I was stoned. I'm telling you, you know, if there was ever a time for a man to give up and not finish the course that lied ahead, it would have been Paul. You know, when we find in Philippians his first incarceration, we'd have thought that he wanted to die there. He said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. You know, he said he was between a rock and a hard place, and I'm using some of my own words here. He said, I want to go and be with the Lord, which is far greater. But he said it was more needful for him to stay and to encourage the brethren. Sometimes we don't want to be selfish. You know, sometimes we can be selfish and say, Lord, take me home so I can get away from all this trouble. But maybe the Lord's using us to help somebody else. Maybe the Lord's using us to encourage somebody else. I tell you, it doesn't matter who you are or what age you are. When you die to go home and be with the Lord, I don't care if you're an infant or you're 100 years old. You're going to be in a place that is far greater, a place where you don't want to return back to the old earth from which you came. You're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ in glory and paradise, and you'll never want to leave. I'll assure you. As David said, when I awaken thy likeness, I'll be satisfied. Every one of us will be too. We're going to be satisfied with what we see. We're going to be satisfied with understanding what perfect love is. We're going to be satisfied that we never have a sleepless night or a troubled day or any type of affliction that we encounter today in our lives. He said, goes on and he says, I suffered shipwreck. Thrice he was in a ship that was wrecked. And he said, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Well, I tell you, he tread water a long time unless he had a good float, piece of wood to float on. I don't know exactly what happened. It doesn't give us those details. But a night and a day in the ocean wouldn't be something that you and I would probably enjoy. I tell you, if this man, there was ever a man that could throw in the towel and just say, you know, Lord, I've had all I can take. I can't do this anymore. It would have been Paul. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, his own people were after him. He was always in danger. He talks in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians about him being delivered from a death in the past, in the present, and in the future. I mean, death, as he speaks of here, was always surrounding him. Somebody was wanting to take his life, and yet the Lord delivered him. The Lord suffered him to go on and kept him by his grace. He said, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I mean, people who said ungodly things that were not true about Paul. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. If it wasn't bad enough, it says in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, hunger and thirst. Times he was hungry, he was thirsty. And yet, with all that was going on outside of Paul's life as he journeyed, he had the daily care and ministration of the churches. You know, it almost looks, if you read about Paul's story, that God gave Paul more than he could handle, doesn't it? But you know, if you study the parable of the talents, God never gives any man more he can handle. Paul very much, very likely could handle more than you and I could have. But God never puts upon you and I more than we can handle. But he calls upon us to be faithful. You know, he gave one servant 5 talents, another servant 2 talents, another servant 1. And he didn't ask them to go out and gain a certain number of talents that they might have a bigger or greater blessing. The blessing was all the same. God never intended for you and I to do more than he give us, to go beyond the gift, to exceed that. But he did expect us to be good stewards of what he blessed us with, to use what he give us. Paul very likely had a greater gift than I have, and I don't think there's any denying that, than many preachers had. But yet, it would have been a hard road to go down for him or anyone else, would it have not? He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He said, if I'm going to glory, it's in my infirmities. Because in my body, I'm living and showing the suffering of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was doing. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. He goes on and talks about they were trying to apprehend him. They were on the hunt for him. And yet, when he gets to the 2nd chapter of Timothy, he says, I have fought a good fight. It was a fight. The fight between good and evil. The fight between light and darkness. He said, I finished the course. And I believe that is the key to those 3 verses there. First of all, you must realize that you're in a fight. And if you're not careful, that fight will lead you to get off course. And the further off course you get, the harder it is to get back on course. It really is. You can't finish a course, not with the intended purpose, if you get too far off. Christ had a course to follow when he came to this earth, and he finished it. And now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what was always in view with Christ was the joy that was set before him. What's always in your view? Is Christ the joy set before you? Or is it the things of this world? Is it your family? It's your husband, your wife? Or is it Christ? You were his joy. Hopefully I was too. That was set before him. He always seen his people. Sinners who had nothing to do with him, didn't want anything to do with him, didn't love him. They were his enemies. And yet, he commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he went to the cross and died for us. You were in view. You were the focus of his work upon this earth. For us, thou shalt bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his sins, his people from their sins. Why did he do that? Because that was the soul and entire purpose that he came. You were the joy of his life. And he done everything necessary to secure your eternal salvation in this place called paradise. Christ had the right focus. And he never departed. He never got off course. Yes, he was God. But yet he was a man who knew the feelings of our infirmities. We're told to cast our care upon him, for he careth for us. He had us in view at all times. And for us to be as Paul was in any sense, regardless of what we may or may not have went through, our focus must be on Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we want to end our days upon this earth and say, I've fought a good fight. And that fight is not with guns. It's not with swords. See, that's what's wrong with men today. That's how they see a fight. But you know, Paul tells us that our weapons are not of warfare, are not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You remember when he was arrested after he came out of the garden, right before they put him on trial? He said, I could call upon 12 legions of angels. Had Jesus wanted to fight these folks the way they wanted to fight, he could have put an end to it in a twinkling, in a moment, nothing being said. But that wasn't the way he fought, and it wasn't the way that we're supposed to fight. It's a spiritual fight between darkness and light and good and evil. It always has been. And so our weapons are not, of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And for us to stay the course and to fight a good fight of faith, our focus must be upon Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy the benefits of this life that he's given us, but it means we never lose focus. He never lost focus of us. Now we continue on and we think about Paul, and I think about the words that he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Think about what he did. He didn't say examine yourselves whether you have any faith, whether you be in the faith. Paul also said in the Galatian letter, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we have the faith of God planted in us, are we exercising that faith? Are we walking in the course that God would have us to walk? Are we focusing upon Jesus Christ? You know, there are many scriptures in the Bible that we can use to examine ourselves. You know, and a self-examination is an internal examination. I tell you, there's not a better example of this when Jesus sat down at the Last Supper with his 12 disciples. Jesus began to tell his 12 disciples, he said, I'm going to be betrayed. And they were sorrowful and saddened, and you can imagine. Then they become even greatly sadder when he said, it'll be one of you. And they begin to say, is it I? They didn't say, is it John? Is it Matthew? Is it Peter? You know, we have a tendency as human beings to point fingers. You know, they could have easily said, well, I bet it's old brother Peter. You know, he's always getting in trouble. I bet he's the one. One by one, they said, Lord, is it I? They begin to look within themselves. This was an internal examination. This wasn't an examination of the brothers and the sisters surrounding them and things that were outward. This was an inward examination, which is the kind that Paul's talking about. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are we in the faith? Are we walking in the faith? Are we becoming more like Jesus Christ? I believe that's the goal that Jesus set for every one of us as we live and walk through this life. We're never going to be perfected in this life like Jesus, but that ought to be the goal that we have, is to become more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. When they revile him, he threatened not. They said all kind of terrible things to the Lord Jesus Christ. They spit upon him. They done all kinds of things. They beat him beyond recognition. The God of heaven, the Creator, the one who came down to save his creation, the sinners that were chosen to him before the foundation of the world, he could have put an end to it, but he had the proper focus. He wanted us to live with him forever in glory. And I tell you, he finished that work, and every one of God's elect will be there regardless of how they live. But we're talking about our life now. We ought to want to honor him every day. We ought to want to glorify him every day. You know, when we begin to think about measurements or examinations, a lot of folks don't like to be examined. I know I don't. But this is a self-examination. Even the medical field will tell you to take self-examinations for women and men both in certain areas of our life. Examine yourselves. But those disciples were looking within, not without. You know how easy it is to say that you do what you do because of somebody else? I tell you, that is one of the most famous lines among people I've ever seen. I'm doing this because so-and-so done this to me. You know, we want to blame it on somebody else, but isn't it amazing when they said, one of you is going to betray me? They begin to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? There's only one that made a different statement, and that was Judas Iscariot. He didn't say, Lord, is it I? He said, Master, is it I? And there's a great difference, and we'll not get in that today. Lord denotes ownership. Master doesn't, even though it's a great word. But when we continue to think about this inward examination, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. And we can examine some things, and also in Matthew chapter 25. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. When we get to the final day, when Jesus separates his sheep from the goats, he gives us an explanation here of the sheep. He said, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no clothes upon my back, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was sick, you came and saw me. And you know the story. And he said, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When we begin to examine ourselves, we examine ourselves against the teachings of God's Scripture, God's truth. I believe that's the only way we can take a self-examination. And are we doing those things? He didn't say, examine yourselves whether you be a child of God. That's not what he's talking about. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, whether you're walking and living in the faith, whether you're continuing in the course that God set for each one of us. Do we go visit those people in the hospital as we should? Do we go visit the widows and take care of the orphans? What are we doing? Do we do those things? That's how we can examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. That's one way. We go over now to Ephesians chapter 4. And I believe that we begin to look at some things that will tell us a lot about whether we're walking in the faith and becoming more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, one day we'll be completely conformed to the image of Jesus Christ when we live in glory. But it should be the goal of every one of us to take steps in that direction every day that we live. You know, that's why it was called a fight, because it's not easy. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul didn't say, well, y'all all do this because it's the easiest thing you've ever done. No, we're told in Peter told us in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, be steadfast in the faith. That's how we're to resist Satan. The verse before, we resist Satan by being steadfast in the faith, stern in the faith, being established in the faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, we get down to, I believe it's verse 19, and it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. Now, he's talking about people in nature, but he begins to separate the old man from the new man, the man that was born of the Spirit of God. It says, ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. If Jesus has taught us, then we know better. Doesn't mean we always do what we're taught. We didn't always do what mom and daddy taught us either, did we? But we've been taught a lot of things by our parents that we didn't necessarily do. But in verse 22, where we're going to get, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is one way to examine yourself in life's journey. And it's something that we ought to do on a regular basis, maybe even a daily basis. Are we being renewed in the spirit of our mind daily? And that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Have we put away lying? You know, some people say, well, I tell a few little white lies. But I mean, Jesus said, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nay. He didn't say a little lying's okay. He said, put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Do we speak every man the truth to our neighbor? I mean, this is a way to examine whether we're walking in the faith. We're doing what we ought to do. It says in verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Are you able to control your anger and your wrath? You know, Jesus had more right to be angry at us wretched, bankrupt sinners who were doing all kinds of terrible things to him and other folks, to Christians, as anyone. And yet, he didn't even threaten them, did he? The weapons of his warfare were not carnal. He made that very clear, and they're not to be for you and I. It's to walk in righteousness. The greatest weapon we have is the righteousness of the Lord our God. He calls upon us to do the right thing no matter how many folks are doing the wrong thing. That's why it's not easy to stay the course. That's why it's not easy to finish the course. People fall away like peeling an onion out of the church over the years that I've been in. Some of them get upset. They get mad. They get angry. But they have not grown in grace. They have not continued in the course that they should go down. Because that's what happens with sinners. We all have those problems in life. And sometimes we just throw in the towel. We don't finish the course. Paul finished the course. Look at what he underwent. He finished it. He didn't get off course. He kept the faith. He kept the faith. Now, you know, I'm thankful that even for those of us who do not keep the faith, those of us who do not really live in life with real peace in our hearts, that our hearts are not truly full of joy, as we're told in John chapter 15, that we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven that no man can take away, that we're going to live with God. But I'll tell you what, ought you not want to honor that God who sent his only begotten Son down and died for you, that one day you won't have to experience these things? You're going to live the greatest place you've ever been up on the earth, the most beautiful place you've ever been, the best time you've ever had at that place won't even compare in a twinkle to what you're going to have in heaven. Did you know that? I mean, we can't even begin to understand how great heaven's going to be and what Jesus Christ done for us and the eternal security that he give us because of his finished work. Paul knew that, and that's why through all that he went through, he said, I finished my course. We all have a course. And that course has Jesus Christ as our focus. He told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, eternal salvation. That's Jesus Christ. Lay hold upon Christ and never let go. Let him be the focus of our life every day when we wake up. Tell Jesus to guide your steps today that you might walk in a way that would honor him. Do you get up and pray that prayer? That when you encounter difficulties, that you'll handle them in such a way, God, Lord, that I'll honor you, and it'll bring glory to your name. That's the purpose that we were created for. The hope that we have of heaven is the great fruit of faith and of the soul. It is the anchor that we have. He goes on and he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him that laboreth, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, that's a twofold question there. It doesn't just mean labor and make more money that you can give money to those that need. It does include that. But it also says to take time in your labors to help those that have need. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are we in the faith? Do we have time to be in the faith? I think that's a big question. Do we have time to be in the faith with the world in which we live? You know, sometimes the world we live in doesn't give us very little time to worship the Lord and a whole lot less time to be in the faith. I mean, we just got too many things going on sometimes. Too many responsibilities. I mean, our day's filled. It's full to capacity. It's hard to be in the faith sometimes when you got so many things to do and your focus is upon those things and whatever they might be. We're all guilty. I think we are. I know that I'm guilty of that, very guilty of it. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Labor to help those who have monetary need, but I tell you, it's just important to labor to help those who need a cool glass of water, who need an encouraging word, who are down in life, whatever the trouble may be, whatever brought them to that position. I tell you, you don't know what good you can do for somebody to show them your love and your kindness and your tenderheartedness. Take the time. Examine ourselves. Let us examine ourselves. I know that brought a lot of thought to me. I need to examine myself every day whether I be in the faith. Am I walking in the course that God would have me walk? And am I staying the course? I tell you, a lot of God's children hadn't finished the course, and they're going to be in heaven. And I guess that's the consummation that they have. Well, we're saved by grace no matter how we live. You know, we've been accused of that all our life as Primitive Baptists. What difference does it make how you live if you're saved by grace? But I tell you, we are saved by grace, but it makes a difference how you live. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not that we would, but that we should. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We can say all we want to about works. They don't get us to heaven, but we were created for that very purpose. That's to labor in God's kingdom, to keep the faith, to finish the course. Because in doing it, it will give Jesus Christ all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's what we're told in 1 Corinthians. He gets on down here to 31 and we'll close here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice or all evil. Are we doing those things? Are we putting away anger? You know, anger is something that is a problem with me. I get mad, you know, all of a sudden. It's easy to get mad at somebody or something, or somebody pulls out in front of your car and you just want to get a little road rage, you know, whatever it might be. And it takes a concerted effort to say, Lord, help me in that area of my life. You know, help me to do what you would do. Help me to be kind to one another. Help me to be tenderhearted. Help me to forgive others as your Father has forgiven me based upon the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's a lesson we all need. Forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. I tell you, that list is not easy when you examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us manifest our walk in this life, because I tell you, God will bless you. And it's the only way in this life that we can give God glory and honor and praise that's suitable. It really is. By doing those things that other men wouldn't do. By being kind when somebody's not kind to you. By being tenderhearted when people are not tenderhearted to you. You know, it's an area that I need to work on tremendously in my life. It's easy to get mad. It's not nearly as easy to forgive, is it? By nature we get mad, but we're taught to have a forgiving heart and a loving heart. May we, as I said last Sunday, when we end our days upon this earth, may we be as Paul and say that we fought a good fight. Because I tell you, the fight to put off the old man, it's a real fight. The fight to put off the flesh, it's a real fight. That's the evil part of life. But may we say, I fought a good fight. And I did finish the course. As many times as I nearly strayed away, I did finish it. I finished my course. I kept Jesus in view. Even though things didn't turn out the way I wanted. The church maybe wasn't the way I wanted at the end, or at some given time in my life. Maybe my children didn't all grow up and stay in the church or marry who we wanted them to. You know, the list goes on and on and on. We've all got our troubles. But may we say, regardless of that, we finished the course and that we kept the faith. I think that's the greatest blessing that we can have in this life, is to say we kept the faith in following Jesus Christ. Because one day all his elect are going to enjoy the benefits of heaven. Not a one will be left out, and that is a great blessing in itself. But we are created in Jesus Christ unto good works. May God bless us to do that. May God bless us to keep the faith.